do the fundamental things always apply? We're put on this world to procreate, or at least to have a mate. Well, the world may be changing. Getting on for 500,000 New Zealanders now live alone, more than half of them women, and life is more expensive for them often too. You can't share many of the costs of living. Why do people stay single instead of wanting to be in a long relationship? There's new research on this in the Journal of Personality, and it included respondents from New Zealand. Secure singles are more comfortable with intimacy and closeness in relationships. Anxious singles wonder why they're loved by others, and if they're loved by others, and worry about being rejected. There are also what's called avoidant singles. They're uncomfortable getting close to other people, and they prioritise their independence. And that's a goodly number of younger people now, nearly a quarter of them. But overall, the biggest category is the anxious one. Professor Jeff McDonald ran the study with other academics. He joins us from the University of Toronto. Jeff's lab studies the well-being of single people in society. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there.
More people are staying single, aren't they, in the modern world? Only in countries like ours, do you think, or more generally, do we know?
It does seem to be true in many parts of the world that people are more likely to be single.
Okay. Data show there are fewer people getting married, and there are maybe more people getting divorced also and then staying single.
Yeah, so it is true. People are less likely to get married. They're getting married later when they do get married. I will say the one upside is that it looks like divorce rates are down, maybe because people are getting married when they're more mature. But yeah, in general, the picture is we have more single people than we used to, for sure.
Right. Okay, that sets the scene. I saw one headline about your study in Canadian media. Psychologists say that focusing on yourself is more likely to lead to a happy life. And instantly you think, selfish, self-engrossed, bad for society, life's about purpose, self-sacrifice, and so on. Can you explain what you mean by the headline, if it reflects your thinking?
Yeah, I appreciate the question because I can see how people would read it that way, but I do think that this point is really important. And so, you know, where I come to this from is the idea that part of the reason why, on average, people in relationships are happier than people who are single is that it's happy people who are more likely to partner, right? And so when I think about the idea of, you know, single people focusing on themselves, the idea there is that in order to be a happy person, whether you're going to be single or in a relationship, you kind of need to get your house together, right? You need to get your life on a solid financial foundation. And it's by doing whatever it takes for that particular person to understand who they are, the kind of relationships they want, what makes them happy, and to get that solid foundation in their life. I mean, the idea is if you do that, you'll be a happier single person. But I think what will flower for most people is a sense of like, okay, this was great to have this time to myself, and now I have the urge to connect with people more. So I actually think in a roundabout way, that idea of focusing on yourself first is about setting the stage. If you decide you want to be a single person, it'll make you better at that. But I think for a lot of people, it'll give them the itch to be in a relationship and to make them a better relationship partner.
Okay, and we can understand the sense in that thinking. But as for happy people being more likely to get into relationships, they might find it easier to do so, but there are also partners for the morose and even the miserable among us, aren't they? I mean, sometimes we meet people and think, God, what did she see in you, and so on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's something I always tell my students. I think that, you know, when they come into my relationship class and I start talking about all of these struggles that people can have in relationships, they start to get to the idea that, like, well, I have to be perfect then, or else nobody will ever love me, right? And those of us who have been around the block a little bit, we understand that there's all kinds of, ways that you can find yourself connected to other people in relationships. And so, you know, I definitely think there are all kinds of people for all kinds of people out there. It doesn't mean that only the happiest amongst us ever have a hope of being in a relationship.
Thank goodness. If we aren't cohabiting as much, this is because of changes in society. Jeff, what sorts of changes?
You know, there's been a couple of schools of thought speculating about this. One of them is, you know, the society has written this script for people that you're supposed to be in a relationship and has kept back all of these people who actually wanted to be independent all along. And so, you know, now with more technology that makes us less reliant on other people, maybe that liberates people who would have wanted to be single in the past. And now they actually can be that, right? And I'm sure for some people that's the case. But then there's other schools of thought that says, well, people's desire to be in romantic relationships hasn't changed, but society has changed really quickly. And that's changed the landscape of how possible it is to get in a relationship. So, you know, for example, people talk about the gig economy, about how people's financial lives are a lot more unpredictable than they used to be. And when you're thinking about, you know, maybe getting married, maybe starting a family, it's really useful to be able to think a number of years down the road. A lot of young people talk about how hard it is to buy a house these days. And that's the kind of foundation that relationships are built on. And so another school of thought is that there's been so much change in society that's made it hard to plan long term, that it's made people a lot more cautious to approach getting into a committed relationship.
And if that freedom of modern society leads to you deciding to be by yourself but be more work focused in a competitive world, that's probably understandable, but it doesn't sound like a recipe for happiness down the track, concentrating on work.
Yeah, it's you know, it really depends on the type of person, and I think a lot of it depends on the stage of life that you're in. So, you know, we had one study that we did in our lab, for example, where we found that that was one of the costs of getting into a relationship is that people found that their work-life balance was less satisfying for them. So it is one of the advantages of being single is that if you are at a point in your life where you want to focus on your career. And, you know, thank goodness there are people who want to focus on their career. You know, it's, I always think, for example, of when people were trying to come up with the COVID vaccine. That's not really a time for work-life balance. It's good when you have people that can really focus all of their efforts on work, right?
A salient point regarding the COVID vaccine. We do still assume, carelessly assume, that if you stay single, that's fine, but there's probably something lacking in you. We still think it's not normal, in inverted commas. What character flaws are you hiding? What mental conditions do you have? Is it that you think you're too unattractive? What are your secrets? And so on. How true is this still, do you think?
Well, it's certainly true that there are strong narratives that are projected through, you know, television shows and movies and stuff like that, that the normal path that people should want to take is to be in a relationship. So there are people who call this the relationship escalator, and it kind of leads to this assumption that you're supposed to be doing that with your life. So I certainly think that it's true that there are these strong narratives out there. You know, I think that some of that is a top-down kind of thing where people are trying to convey this message that you're supposed to do this. I do think some of it is bottom-up. People like a lot of people like romantic relationships, and so that gets reflected in media in part because it reflects people's real experiences. But I think where the problem comes is that when people see those narratives and they don't realize that maybe they're the type of person or at the stage in their life when it's not time to get on the relationship escalator. And so sometimes people will find themselves in relationships and kind of wish that they hadn't internalized those messages and had listened to their own sort of internal clock instead.
And also regarding time, maybe later on in life, to get off that escalator too. There are people, you know, who are leaving long-term marriages, partnerships as well these days. We read about them. How common it is, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's another one of the changes that has happened in society. You know, for example, getting divorced not that long ago would have been really difficult, but people can opt themselves out of relationships more easily. And, you know, it also points to the fact that like age makes a big difference in this too. So, you know, being a single young person when you've got lots of time to meet people and a lot of people are single, that's a different story than when you get older, the you know, pickings are slimmer, as it were. So the social backdrop really changes as people age too.
Professor Jeff MacDonald is with us from the University of Toronto. You've found in your studies that there are happy single people and unhappy single people, as we'd assume. What does that depend on?
You think about the kinds of things that people want to get out of a romantic relationship, emotional support, companionship, sexual satisfaction. And one of the ways I like to think about this is the more of those that you're getting, the more of those needs that you're getting met outside of a romantic relationship, the less motivated you are to get into a romantic relationship. So the more that you have good relationships with your family, good relationship with your friends, maybe you're having casual sexual opportunities, the people who have their emotional and sexual needs met outside of the committed relationships tend to be less likely to be interested in getting in a relationship.
Speaking of casual sexual opportunities, I once read about the famous lover Casanova, who in his late 30s had to stop running across the rooftops of Venice to escape jealous husbands. And as his legendary good looks began to fade, he became lonely and miserable and ended up as a librarian in a damp, cold castle somewhere in Bohemia. It's one thing to stay footloose, and keep swiping right when you're young, but age catches up with you, yeah?
It is true, the context of being single changes when you're older. And one of the challenges that older single people face is that people tend to shrink down their social networks. And so one of the ways to be a happy single person is to have good relationships with your friends, but people tend to have smaller and smaller friendship networks as they get older. I mean, one thing that a lot of single people will talk about is that they have a great friend, and then as soon as that friend gets into a romantic relationship, they just disappear off the face of the earth. Right. And they're hard to get a hold of anymore. So there really are challenges in terms of the social networks of older people. But I mean, the good news is that after about age 40, what our data suggests is that satisfaction with being a single person starts to go up. And this is consistent with the fact that in general, as people age, they tend to become happier with their lives. You've had a chance to figure out, do I want to be a person in a relationship? Do I want to be single? And you've had the opportunity to select yourself into whichever stream is more comfortable for you. So I do think that that's one societal trope that our data goes completely against, is the idea is if you get older as a single person, you're going to get less and less happy. Exactly the opposite is true, that older singles actually tend to be happier than younger singles.
Because we hear about happiness returning in older age. There are all these opinions about being happy, then not happy, and then happy again. So you would characterize that just as a more broad upward trend from, say, 40 on.
That's what the data looks like, that people who are single get happier about being single as they get older, but people who are in relationships get happier about being in a relationship as they get older. So it does seem to be true. I think what happens is that as you sort of get less energy as you get older, you have less energy to be worried about things. You have less energy to put up with stuff that you don't feel like putting up with. And so I think that people just become more authentic, happy versions of themselves as they get older.
Less energy to be worried about things. That's nice. Jeff, it may be true, do you think, that it's better to be single than in a bad relationship, as is often said? But the ties that bind people are complex. I mean, a so-called bad relationship may fulfill your needs in myriad ways, even if you bicker and bark at each other. Most of us aren't the perfectly secure and relaxed individuals that, as you mentioned, media like to show us. That'd be fair, wouldn't it?
I think there's an argument to be made. In our research, we have identified one group of people who they're not particularly happy with the relationship they're in, but they say that they would still rather be in that relationship than be single. And I'm not sure if it's my place to argue with them or not. I think that there's one case to be made that if these people got themselves out of that situation, they might be able to find something else that makes them happier. But at the same time, a lot of us carry who we are into every relationship. And maybe what these people have identified is like, look, I'm kind of an unhappy person. I'm unhappy in this relationship, but it's still better than being single when I only have to live with myself at that point. So, I think that's the kind of thing that we can't answer with data. I think that's a sort of philosophical question that each person needs to ask to themselves. Do they feel better coming home to a sort of blah partner, but at least they've got somebody, or would they be better off by themselves? But I do think that this is one of the things that doing the singlehood research has put front and center, as I think for a long time, the assumption would be being on your own is the absolute worst thing. And our data show that that's definitely not the case, right? That there are lots of people who are happy living a single life. And so it's at least something that people should consider.
And when it's said that society and media, as you were mentioning, reinforce a stereotype of being happy once you find the right person, there is also a reason for that. It's what people want to see, obviously, when they go to the movies, and also presumably want for themselves since time immemorial.
Yeah, and I think that that's true. I mean, I do think that there is a sort of bottom-up reasons why media portrays these kinds of things because people like to connect with others. It feels good to fall in love, and so people want to do that. People like the security that comes with growing old with somebody, for example, right? But I think it also depends on how you take these societal expectations, right? And I think that what happens to a lot of people is they'll see these movies about relationships transforming you into something better, right? And I think if you go into a relationship expecting that relationship to make you somebody other than you already are, you're setting yourself up and your partner up for disappointment, right? I think it's the kind of people who go into relationships not expecting it to complete them or to transform them, but to provide them companionship. I think those are the kinds of realistic expectations that are helpful for people to focus on. And these more romantic kind of stories of relationships saving you is maybe the kind of narrative that's not so helpful for people. As much as relationships can be wonderful, they also create a lot more difficulty and stress and conflict than if you live by yourself, right? So that's the trade-off, is in that case, you're making yourself more financially stable, but you're introducing a lot of stresses and strains into your life, right? And so I think that there's a good argument to be made that the kinds of, let's say, government policies that are actually going to help people have not just more stable relationships, but happier relationships are the kinds of policies that remove stresses and strains on the couples, right? So, for example, I think policies around affordable childcare that reduce the conflict, that reduce the amount of work that the couple needs to do, where they can focus more on connecting with each other, that's the kind of stuff that actually leads to happier relationships and not just more stable relationships.
So single parenthood would work better if we could provide a society, courtesy of the government, or, where villagers help raise children. That doesn't tend to happen, though. I mean, everyone else in the village is busy these days. That's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm certainly not a policy expert, and so, I'll leave that to the policy analysts. But I think it does go back to my point when we're talking about single parents here, is that the more that people in their single lives can be set up to have a solid foundation where they're good on their own, that'll make them better for themselves, but it'll make them, it will help them be better able to give to others, and in this case, to give to children.
Only 22% of people in your study were what you would call secure, I think, as opposed to the other categories, comfortable in their own skin and at ease with with intimacy and so on. So we're a species, like many other species, that have varying degrees of mating affiliations. I mean, beavers and bald eagles and skinks and termites, even termites I was reading, apparently mate for life. But for a lot of lives, they're all over the place. We're intelligent enough to have applied social structures and strictures to get some order into all this. We're actually far more unruly as a species if we were left to our own devices than we might like to think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's true. And I think that there's definitely research that suggests that for people, having sort of social standards in some ways can be very helpful. I mean, life can be very confusing and we're not always sure what to do. I think one of the issues in the modern world, though, is that society is changing so fast, but our social norms and our social strictures, they tend to change relatively slowly. And so it takes a while for our social ideas to catch up to the reality that's actually surrounding us, right? So, for example, a lot of men who are interested in women, they still expect their female partners to take care of most of the housework, even though the man and the woman are e working an equal number of hours, right? So, like, there's one belief that's taking some time to catch up. Another example might be that there's a lot of women who have trouble dating a man who makes less money than they do, right? But as the gender pay gap has been closing, there's less and less of those kinds of men available, right? So, I definitely think that there's an argument to be made that social norms can be really helpful in trying to figure out what do I do with my relationship life. But I also think that we're in kind of a confusing time where we have some old-fashioned notions of that that haven't caught up to modern day. And I guess I would also say, too, that the social norms fit a lot of people, but I think there's a lot of people who are also pointing out that, well, hey, these social norms are telling me I'm supposed to be in a relationship, but every time I do, I'm less happy than when I'm single. So these social norms aren't working for me. And maybe our story needs to expand to include the idea that, yeah, this works for a lot of people, but maybe this isn't for you.
Yes, exactly. But anxious singles question whether they are loved by others and worry about being rejected, as you say. That's 37%. That's a big percentage. So you needn't be ashamed, actually, if you're an anxious single. You're in good company. Well, not good company, but you're in big company.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. This goes to the idea that it's pretty normal for people to wish that they were in a romantic relationship. But I think for the anxious people, again, this is the kind of people who, every day we would call these the sort of like needy and clingy types. And I think in a lot of way for anxious people, singlehood is a kind of an opportunity, right? I mean, these are the people who feel like they can't make a go of it in life without somebody else. And one of the things that can be helpful for them is starting to try out, well, what can I do by myself? What is it that I'm able to do to make my own life happy? And the problem with anxiously attached people is that because they feel so strongly like they need somebody, like they have a very strong fear of being single, what our research has shown is that they tend to settle. They tend to settle for lower quality partners. And the problem is that then you go from being single and worried about it to a relationship that kind of confirms all your fears. This person is treating you badly, right? So I think for anxious singles, it can be hard to just sit with living life on their own. But the more that they can overcome that fear of being single, not only again will they be happier single people, but they'll be better at choosing a good partner if they do want to get into a relationship.
Does that also apply, Jeff, to the fearful singles with heightened anxiety about abandonment, which is slightly another category again, I understand. And that's 28%, nearly 30% of older long-term singles. And again, that's a decent-sized percentage, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So what's probably going to be a surprise to them is that they, when they do start dating somebody, the more avoidant part of them is going to kick in, the part that wants to keep people at a little bit more of an emotional distance. And it might be surprising to them, because they'll be like, well, last week I felt really lonely, and now I wish this person would stop calling me. Why am I doing that? But that's kind of consistent with the fearful pattern. So that can be a little bit of a challenge to work with, but that's also, another good reason to take that opportunity being single to figure out how to be okay with yourself, so that you're not kind of inflicting this hot and cold pattern on people that you get into relationships with.
It is such interesting research. Although most singles, just finally, although most singles in your samples were insecure, as we've said, a sizable number were secure and thriving, and that's a decent quarter of them, pretty much. This tells us that being, loved up with someone else isn't the be all and end all.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think probably the most important message that's come out of doing this singlehood research is that, love comes in many forms. These social messages tell us that if you want to find love and you want to find connection, you're supposed to find that in romantic relationships. But, love can come from family, love can come from pets, love can come from friends, right? So there's a lot of different ways that people can satisfy these kinds of needs. And of course, love can also come from yourself, right? And as we've talked about, getting right with yourself makes everything else in life easier. And so I think that that's what these secure singles do the best is that, they're open to a relationship if it comes along, but only if it makes their life better. But otherwise, they're finding ways to make themselves happy through things like relationship with their friends and relationship with their family.
And that's a nice happy ending to the chat, actually. A nice way of finishing. Jeff, thank you very much for the research and for your time as well.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.